B-Pod Studios.
Ahoy, K-Rock.
Hey, boy.
Is this, this is Joffrey, isn't it?
Oh, who else would it be, brother man?
Yeah, brother man. What do you want? What?
I wasted a lot of years, just like you did, with the old ball and chain.
Stop comparing me and my life to yours. You were married, kind of. Most people would call it a beard. And she finally butched up and left you.
Yeah, she did. And, you know, I, quite honestly, spent a little time in crisis.
Yeah, I remember, and I remember when she left, and you were in crisis. A lot of crying and whimpering.
And I want to talk directly to your listeners right now.
Oh, I wish you would.
You will never know the ways in which Stan was there for me.
I wasn't anywhere near you. Don't say that.
You know what you did.
What did I do?
You comforted me.
Don't even say those words in me, comforted. I didn't comfort you. I didn't comfort nothing. I was never in any physical proximity to you ever, except when you got beat up at the Kiss show.
Oh, I don't think I was implying anything otherwise.
All right,
know,
well, it just sounds, the sound of it, Joffrey,
Stan
just sounds.
Made me feel good.
Stan
reminded me that life can be exciting.
Stop it! How can I show you life can be exciting?
Oh, just the, you know, the playful banter.
Uh-huh.
You know, just guy stuff.
Stop it!
And I want to thank you for
you're
that.
Welcome. You're welcome. My producer here just brought up an interesting fact. Your dog, when you were married, you had the two dogs, Princess and Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Are they still alive?
Yes.
Do you know that Princess and Pepper are probably about 18 years old right now?
Oh, well, God bless them. The original Princess and Pepper would be.
Oh,
the original?
So what, they've been replaced? How many have you had?
I mean, dogs don't live forever.
I know that. You still call the new ones Princess and Pepper, too?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I don't want to know anything more about it.
And although they are all unique and precious little spirits, they're close enough. And I can't ever replace them, but I did.
All right, why are you calling me? I don't want to get into anything about Princess and Pepper.
You make me feel like a man, Stan.
And anything about you making me you feel like a man, what the hell? What do you want?
Well, you did make me feel
good,
like
good,
a man.
Good, 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 good. I'm all
like
happy.
A million bucks.
Shut up about it. You called me for a
again.
Reason. What?
Yeah, I'm involved again. I got back out there.
Ah, what's his name?
I mounted that horse again.
What's his name?
What?
You've mounted the horse again. You're back out there since your divorce. What's his name?
I get where you're coming from. I don't like dudes. What's wrong with you?
All right. When one day you're going to be honest about it. So what is her name?
Let's just call her Alaska Thunderbunk.
Alaska Thunderbunk. And how did you meet Alaska?
Well, I just had to get out there, you know.
You're right, mount.
I went down to the local watering hole, put on my cowboy boots, and splash of aftershave. And I said to myself, Jeff, you are going to speak to a woman.
Mm-hmm. And?
And I said, hello.
Woman?
And she said, hello. And we just hit it off. We
yeah,
both like, you know, Cosmo teenies. I just can't take I can't take the hard stuff at all.
Really?
I like my girly drinks, you know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. What are some of your other favorite girly drinks?
Oh, an apple teeny.
Yeah.
Pink flamingo. Enjoy that. Unicorn. Wet dream.
And Alask likes these too, huh?
Yeah, it usually is vodka or Bailey's or a combination of the two. But anywho.
Yeah, so what? Did you just call me up to say that you're hanging with a woman?
I am telling you that sparks have flown, friend. And
yeah.
I never experienced this with my wife. And I have to tell you, Alaska Thunderbunk is just a hot ass bitch.
Have you done stuff to her?
Has she done stuff to you?
Her stuff to you?
I do things to her,
yeah.
And she does things to me. If we're lucky, every once in a while, we'll do things together. Sometimes I think she just pretends because she loves me so much.
Wait a second. You're taking big jumps here, Joffrey, from drinking a Cosmatini with this Alaska bedbunk. What's her name?
Thunderbunk.
Thunderbunk.
Alaska Thunderbunk. Yeah.
To a lot of things in common, to we've done things to each other. And you just said we love each other.
Well, I betted her the first night, or she betted me.
Okay, sure. Was it your place or hers?
It was hers, and that's where things get a little weird.
What do you mean?
I don't know what today's morality is like, but she's a married woman.
And you still went to her place and did it?
If I have learned nothing from you, Stan... There was a time I never would have done this, but I've heard you say it so many times. The heart wants what the heart wants.
What was her husband out of town?
Are they separated?
Maybe they're going through some difficulties, and you say, well, I'm in the process of a divorce. We haven't divorced yet. I'm still technically married. Come on over. What the hell?
Her husband, I guess, fancies himself some sort of ultimate fighter and spends a lot of time at the gym. And, of course, I didn't even know she was married at first because we just went to her house and it was right there in the living room.
What was right there in the living room?
My seed.
Yeah?
And I had no idea that I was... You know, marking my scent in another man's territory.
Why are you telling me this?
You know, I wanted to get your take on it because I remembered the People's Court, and if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Absolutely. What's too good to be true? Being with Thunderbunk?
Well, it's been a whirlwind romance, and we're living together now.
How can you live together? She's married.
I'm living with her and Dave. Dave is her husband, and we don't get along that great. In some ways, he reminds me of you.
What?
He reminds me of you.
Why?
In the way that he speaks to me.
Because he doesn't like you. He doesn't like you.
I get that feeling sometimes.
Well, catch the hint.
When you do it, it's in fun, but I think
No, it's not. I don't like
because
you.
He uses a lot of the same slurs.
Like?
Paddywhaves, probably enough.
He probably thinks you're gay, as everybody else does, and thinks
oh,
that
she
you're...
she told him that, yes.
So she said to him, don't worry, honey, Joffrey's gay.
She sat me down and explained to me how things were going to be.
I don't want to know this. Are you sleeping with the three of them? Is this a menage?
What the hell no, man.
Are you sleeping with him and her and you're kind of like the boy toy?
She told me, she sat me down and told me how things were going to be. And she goes, look. Baby, I know you're all beef, but I think that you might be able to just barely pass for gay. And that way, Dave won't see you as a threat, and we can live together.
But now you've left your seed in there.
Yep.
And now your scent is in another man's den.
And my main concern is that he's threatened my babies.
And me. He's now threatening you.
Look, I know that. Plaster isn't that hard to punch. But he did put a hole through the wall with his fist the other night.
Yeah? What prompted him to do that?
Just some random bit, something about I've had it with your sissy boy and his stupid dog.
So where are you still living there now?
Yeah, and I just hope he doesn't act on it. And I have learned a thing or two over the years, and I've always been told that a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. I'm thinking about whipping up some of my famous creamy pasta for him.
He's going to get his ass kicked.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope want to sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws spies and a bit of a crowd. Stan and Haney, Kate, Quake, and Chowder. Hot paradise. Listen to us once, and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stan and Haney, Kate, Quake, and Chowder. Stan and Haney, Kate, Quake, and Chowder. Stan and Haney, all afternoon. They don't pay for nothing in my way.
Fred and Barney, Siegfried and Roy, Ralph and Norton, Stan and Haney. You gotta be shitting me. You can't pay me enough to say this. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Friday.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God. I was looking at the Daily Mail today. I don't know. Did you see this? By the way, hi.
Yeah.
Hi, buddy.
Did you say hi, bye?
Buddy.
Oh,
hi,
oh
bye.
Buddy. Okay.
Hey, buddy.
I didn't want you to say hi, bye.
No. We've been talking this week, especially Haney.
Are you talking about the Z?
The Z.
Yep.
I got the story right here. Now, I have to go back to when I was young, in my 20s. I had incredible acid reflux because, you know, I loved the Italian food.
Oh, yeah. And
the pizza. And
anytime you drank coffee, it used to be automatic where you'd be belching all over the
gurgle,
place.
Gurgle, gurgle, gurgle. So, back in those days, I don't know, I guess they still do it now, I had to get an endoscopy, where they check you into the hospital, they put the thing down your throat, not the other way, I didn't have to go that way, with the colonoscopy.
No, you're talking about the other end. The other endoscopy.
Yeah.
The other end.
Yeah.
Endoscopy.
A rod right in the mouth. And it goes right down into your stomach.
You know, it's a good thing it happened to you after you'd learned to suppress your gas,
yep.
Your gag reflex.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had to knock me out for it, or I couldn't.
But you're all better now.
Well, yeah, well, let me tell you, this is, and then I'll read you what's going on today. And so, when I came out of it, the doctor comes up to me after I snapped out of it and said, you've got acid reflux.
And you know what you can do for that.
And he said, we have wonderful drugs that are available now to help the acid reflux. And he prescribed me Zantac. Zantac at the time was the first real, I mean, they had all the chewables and stuff.
It was
not over the counter.
It was a miracle drug. I went to the emergency room and they gave me a Zantac.
Well.
And it cleared everything right up.
It was prescription. It was prescription only. After a while, they go off a prescription. It was prescription only, and I was on it for like 5-6 years. And it went, my acid reflux went away. You know what I'm talking about when you're sleeping and then you got the heartburn?
Mm-hmm.
And it went away. And then a few years down the line, it became an over-the-counter thing. They first had the lower dose one that was over-the-counter, and now
and
the prescription strength.
And then it went,
150 milligrams, I think.
Well, it went there, and then it went completely off the rails, and they started making the packages even golder. And then, I think the pinnacle, King Zantac, was when they came out with Zantac 150, but it's minty coated.
Yes, and then?
And see, Zantac is something you swallow, so for it to be minty coated really doesn't mean anything.
No. But then it went off patent. And so you could sell, other companies could sell Zantac generic, which is Ranadine.
Mm-hmm.
I was prescribed by a doctor for more than a decade prescription strength Zantac, and afterwards was taking prescription strength Zantac / Ranadine for another 10 years. And it worked.
Since we've been here, I've been taking
yes,
Zantac.
Me too. This was back over in Melbourne when I was first put on the juice.
Yeah, it was Melbourne. I got my first taste in Melbourne, and I said, what the hell is this?
Last summer.
Because nothing else ever worked.
Perfect, the way that Zantac did. Last summer, they take Zantac, started at first voluntarily, and then required it off the shelves.
Well, and if you'll recall, prior to that, they had done the same thing with blood pressure drugs.
Well, I'm going to get into that, too. So, since this past summer, and I knew a couple of places because it was voluntary at first that still had them, so I'd get a bottle of the stuff. Well, now it's all off the shelves.
You can't get the Z.
You can't get the miracle cure because they say it contains carcinogens.
You know what else they say causes cancer?
What?
Bad acid reflux that's left uncontrolled.
Correct. So I see in the Daily Mail. You want the truth? Read the Daily Mail. Headline: three more heartburn drugs recalled over fears they contain cancer-causing chemicals that some scientists now think could form if Zantac is left in hot cars or homes.
Well, according to their research, which I'd like to have double-checked, even according to their research, it would have to be heated to 158 degrees.
Have you been in a car in the summertime?
To produce the results they want.
Well, here's what they've taken off. Two generic forms of Zantac.
Which I didn't even know you could get them, or
neither
I would have got them.
Or I would have bought them, you're right. And a third similar drug were recalled this week after their makers discovered the trace amounts of the carcinogen NDMA. APCO Pharma and Denton Pharma recalled their brands of ranitidine. Had I known, I didn't know of any place that still had the ranitidine. And then Mylan also issued a voluntary recall of its antacid, nizatine?
Hey, easy.
N-I-Z-A-T-I-D-I-N-E. Now hundreds of batches of ranitidine drugs have been recalled. The panic over ranitidine is due to the amounts of a carcinogen. Keep in mind, it was prescribed by a doctor for me more than 25 years ago. A carcinogen called NDMA goes above safe levels deemed safe by U.S. regulators that they found in the popular heartburn drug.
What year did you start taking Zantac?
1989, 90.
I think mine may have been even earlier than that.
Well, you had to be prescribed it.
Like I said, the first time I ever had it, it was, I went into the emergency room doubled over in pain. I didn't know any idea what was wrong with me. And all they did was gave me a cup of water, and I didn't even know it at the time, but a Zantac. Here, take this pill. And I thought, okay, I'll take this pill, and then they'll get to work on me and figure out what's wrong. And 10 minutes later, it's like, this excruciating pain was gone. Wouldn't you think, so this has been around, saying conservatively, at least since the 80s.
Late 80s.
And if their fears were valid, wouldn't it have manifested by now?
Well, here's what it says.
Wouldn't you have all kinds of people coming down with cancer from Zantac?
This NDMA is labeled a probable human carcinogen and has caused liver, lung, and other cancers in animal studies.
But you know what's interesting about it, Stan, is this only seems to affect older, off-patent, highly effective, popular drugs. It doesn't affect the new stuff.
Says it's also in blood pressure medicines, two brands in particular.
Uh-huh. And
is that your brand? Any of these your brands?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I know.
Valsartan?
Yep.
And Losartan?
Yep.
Some have suggested the reason why it's coming up, and they're shoddy manufacturing.
And but they don't say that with the Z. They're trying to say that it's the Z itself. But what they're trying to do, and it's all over the comments section, is that the type of drug that Zantac is now no longer the new thing. It's older, established, it works, and it's very economical to manufacture.
Used to be a fortune.
Yep, and it's the same thing with those blood pressure drugs. What they have now are new patent drugs that they still control that work in a completely different way that, to me, they're not effective at all, and all I get from them are the side effects, and there may even be an addiction issue with the newer types that they're trying to press on you.
This is sick.
So the point is, economically, those blood pressure drugs, Zantac, they don't make as much money off those.
Unlike with the new ones that have got fresh patents on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And, you know, God forbid, of course, we wouldn't want to ever think that the world works this way, that, someone who has one of the new patents would hire researchers to do whatever you have
after to. 30 years.
Well, sir, Zantac's been on the market. It's been proven safe. It's been proven safe, huh? Well, why don't you take a blowtorch to it and see what happens?
See what you get out of it. We'll be back.
Hey, Southwest Florida, you've stuck with us through thick and thin. Feast and famine. War and peace and everything in between. Don't think for a minute we don't appreciate it. No matter how we may come across, we love this damn job. Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us Friday afternoon. Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, we will try it again with Kreskin. He's going to be in his office, so we won't be hung up on. He was very
was heartbreaking.
He was very upset as well that he had to get cut off because he was on a mobile.
Does he understand that it was the connection that the problem?
Oh, okay. And he knew it, and that's why he promised he would call us from his office today.
You can't go half-assed with Kreskin and miss every other couple of words. It barely makes sense as it is.
Yeah, you got to follow along, and if the phone's breaking up, then you're really lost.
You got to follow every word.
Yep. Matt Mangus going to be down at South Street again, another happy hour down there in Naples on Goodlett Frank Road. Safe word at 4 o'clock. Broadway Joe and his playoff picks later on today. He's got two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday. There, he's going to tell you the winners. But right now it's grab bag time. Brought to you by the Pewter Mug North, US 41 in North Naples. Andy and I remember when we were a kid, there was a guy named Dickie Goodman that used to put out those records where he'd be like the interviewer and then that have the music behind it. And
and to our juvenile brains, it was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah. People still try it. Here's an exclusive interview with the Royals.
Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, how did you break it to the family?
We said our goodbye.
And what were you doing when you decided to step back as senior members?
Stinking of gin.
What was the main reason for stepping back?
I don't know, she wouldn't say.
And what was the Queen's reaction when she heard the news? Meghan, how long have you wanted to step back?
Every single day.
Prince Harry, what are your financial plans?
I don't care too much for money.
And finally, what are you going to do now and where will you live? Reporting from the Royal Exit, I'm Howie Leftham.
That is... It happened on our watch, and we talked about it immediately when the news broke. But my God. She's one of those women, man.
Yeah, but they found out, I mean, we talked about this too. Them leaving... And doing away with all of their royal family duties and not being a part of that anymore. They've got a book in the making. They've got movies in the making. They're going to make millions and millions and millions.
Well, it's called, you know, having the cake and eating it, too.
Yeah.
No, I'm just looking at this woman's track record.
Oh, yeah, well. She was a briefcase opener.
Deal or no deal.
Yeah.
She had to stand there and look pretty. Then she goes and finally gets a legitimate actress job. And she's married to a guy who helped start her career.
Yeah.
The show was a minor hit. But that's not really good enough for Megan.
She knows, set the bar a little higher.
She knows she's entitled to more. And the man she married? Well, quite frankly, Stan, he'd served his purpose.
Yep. Gotta go up. Marry a royal. And I don't...
And she left her entire family behind. Yeah. And at first, the world was like, well, can you blame her? But all of a sudden, now the things that they have said, they're seeming like maybe there's some truth from that side of the family.
And I don't think because, the queen really matters, too, because we know he's not blood.
I don't think that the queen cares one way or the other. I think the queen at 93, with them, you know, what is he, sixth to the throne and could fall further if William decides to have more kids. So I think from her perspective, she's 93. The succession is already set for the throne. And she's like, I've spent my entire life trying to protect this institution and do things right. My favorite son has totally screwed me over because of his association with Epstein and wanting to run around with the global elite and act like, all right, we can get past that. Well, I've lived till 93. Now what I thought would be my heir, Charles, you know, he could die a couple of days after I do.
The
shape that he's in, and he's got heart problems. So I've got William and Kate and their children. I can take the hit with Andrew. Okay, I think we've done all right. Your Majesty. Yes. Yeah. You should check your Facebook.
There's some news you might want to know.
And that's the thing. Is, see, we're Americans. I find it abhorrent because that's his grandmother.
Yes!
But in his case, a lot more than that. It's that plus a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everything that they're doing, they could have done. But for some reason, she convinced him he had to do it without the queen's blessing. And then she leaves the baby in Canada.
Well, there's the reason.
Flies back with him.
Yeah.
For 2 days, flies back and leaves him.
Yes.
To stand alone as his entire family rips him a new one.
I don't know that they ever liked her, though.
What?
I don't know that they ever liked her.
Why do you say that?
I just don't think they did. They knew. The royals, they got people they know. Tell them, hey, she's going to be trouble there, Harry.
Well, I think if they truly felt that they could have done enough to throw a monkey wrench into the ever getting married in the first place.
It's still time for an accident. Well, January.
Happened before.
January is Train Your Dog Month, and the experts say there's one command that's most important.
What's that?
January is Train Your Dog Month, and here's today's dog tip. Of all the basic commands, Come is one that pet parents seem to find most challenging. First, you need to make sure that your dog understands what you are asking him to do. Every time your dog is in the process of coming towards you, tell him, "Good, come," in an excited tone. Then go get a super treat and reward him each time he comes to you when called. Once he is coming every time you call him from inside your house, then you can start adding in distractions by going into your backyard. Practice this command at least 10 to 15 minutes twice a day, and then gradually move to once a day. Come is a life-saving command, so practice it regularly if you want consistency on his part.
What? What was that? What? What?
See, I don't like that. I don't like the concept of pet parents. Even when I was a kid, it wasn't, "Oh, I'm the parent of this animal." It's, "No, that's my buddy right there."
Yeah, but they better come when you call it. They will tell you, I guess things are going around now on the internet.
You don't say.
Your Tide Pods, okay, and what was the other one that they were doing?
The bucket challenge.
The one that's going around now are people's horror stories when they talk about using toothpaste as a lube.
What? I'm not joking. We shouldn't have to tell you this. It's a bad idea. Some people have been using toothpaste as a sexual lubricant.
That never, ever,
ever,
ever occurred to me. What is lube?
And and posting about their traumatic experiences online. The only thing you need to use toothpaste for is your teeth.
Ultra Bright toothpaste, a taste you can really feel. Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal.
For a healthy smile, get Ultra Bright, the sex appeal toothpaste.
Yeah, it's for your mouth.
See, I like that.
Yes.
That's like borderline manic.
Yep.
That's the kind of advertising I respond to.
That was from the 60s.
Yeah.
I'm going to play this for you. This is, again, we're going to go to a pet thing, but here's an announcer that just doesn't care. Here's a clip. It's from last fall.
You mean like the announcers that tell you to go to Bonita Springs?
This is worse. This is another person he's interviewed. Look. Last fall, a Minnesota high school basketball game was getting tons of hits. There, the video of it, and here's why. They couldn't figure out, why is this thing getting so many hits? One of the announcers mentions his dog died after being run over by a car. And the other announcer compares it to a play that's happening on the court. Take a listen.
Well, and then there's one gone but not forgotten, and that's our sweet Daisy, or our sweet Lucy. At the age of 12, she was run over in our driveway.
Oh, like that? Was she run over like that?
Yeah. See, I like that. But, you know, being an observer, I can see where maybe some people wouldn't care for it.
Well, and then there's one more.
I'm with him.
There's one more gone but not forgotten, and that's our sweet Daisy, or our sweet Lucy. At the age of 12, she was run over in our driveway.
Oh, like that? Was she run over like that?
See, I appreciate that.
Driving to the glass.
And I'll guarantee you, that guy, he's the loser in the whole deal. But you know what? Who was doing his job? You're supposed to be calling a basketball game.
You're right.
Not whining about your dead dog.
Cricket is a lot like baseball. And you use a hard ball and it's thrown at you.
But you don't, is it mainly that you don't really have to run?
Yeah, I think you just hit at it. Here's the call.
And you swing it like underhand or something, don't you?
Here's the call of a play-by-play call of a cricket match where the poor
guy gets hit in the chongs, and the sound tells it all, and I guess it's been what's happening to him all game.
Oh, no!
That, unfortunately, is the third time this evening.
Oh.
Oh, no.
He might not get up from this.
He's not in good shape.
Yeah, when your partner's looking quite concerned. Yeah, I think he's in a bit of strife.
Three times in one night.
I'm going to save a few of these things for
later. Isn't that grounds for ejection?
Yes. I'm going to save a few of these things for later because I do want to get to them. We got to take a break. We're running late now as it is, and the amazing Kreskin is actually at his desk waiting for us. So we'll take a break. We'll talk to Kreskin, and maybe I got a few more of these for you. Some real good ones. Extended clips of David Lee Roth and a few other things.
I want the Roth hate to stop. I may be powerless against it, though.
Yep. Stan and Haney, 96K Ron.
All women are crazy, except you, darling. That's right, just you. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us on a Friday. And if you were tuning in yesterday, we had the amazing Kreskin on only briefly because he was on his cell phone and couldn't make it back to his office in time. And the connection was really bad, and then we finally lost him.
Which was a real heartbreaker, because we look forward to that all year long.
And so Kreskin told us, he said, I'm going to make sure I'm in my office. If you guys can call me tomorrow, I'm going to come on with you for the 23rd consecutive year. That's not the
and
first
it's
time.
It's more than that.
Oh, it's more than that.
But not consecutive.
Correct. Here he is, the man himself, the mentalist of the stars, the king of all of this kind of stuff, because he's been doing it longer and better than anybody else, the amazing Kreskin.
Hey, listen, I got good news. I am not in an automobile sitting on a highway, nor am I in an airplane at this point. I'm actually sitting quietly in my office, and knowing you folks as I do, just before I went on, I had four drinks and a bottle of rum. No, I don't drink.
It wouldn't hurt, though. I mean, come on. Kreskin, you're 84 years old.
I'm 85 in a few weeks.
Oh, well.
I got to tell you, I got to finish that quick story when I was telling you about the book on ghosts and so forth. And that I had the seance off in a performance off Broadway, and the people were seeing ghosts and what have you. And then I finally cleared the room, not of people, but of the hallucination I created. And some people came up on stage and said, "Where's so and so?" I said, "I don't know. I don't know you folks. I don't use people I know personally in my performance." They said, "No, she was with us." Turns out one of the ladies who was on, there were about 30 on stage, but someone from the audience was so frightened of the ghost coming down the aisle, she ran up on stage. She ran backstage. They found her two blocks down on Broadway. She had run out of the building and running. So from now on, when I do this in my performances, the ushers seal each door so that no one takes off, because I don't want to lose people like that.
Kreskin, let me ask you, and you're going to be 85. God bless you. At what age did you realize that you were different and that you possessed abilities in the human mind that nobody else did? Obviously, you have to work at it. But when growing up, did you realize, hold on a second, I'm just a
not
little,
everybody can do
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I'm just a little bit different.
You know, I had a dream, and it's interesting because I'm being asked to, now with the 85th birthday coming up and my schedule as crazy as it is, I'm going to ask, you know, how did this start? Five years old, and I wasn't able to read then, but I'm Polish-Italian, and my Polish family lived in Bethlehem and Allentown, Pennsylvania. At one time, I had there 84 relatives, if you can imagine. So I'm visiting with my parents. My father was visiting my grandmother, and we were all visiting. And this kid, who looked like a man, he was an older teenager, gave me a comic book. I don't know if you ever remember this comic. It was called Mandrake the Magician.
Oh, I remember Mandrake, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Mandrake, he really was the magician. He had hypnotic powers, and he read thoughts, and he solved crimes and what have you. So when we went out and played Cops and Robbers, I didn't play a cop or Superman or whatever. I played Mandrake. Then 9 years old, third grade, one of the most important moments of my entire life. And as people say, I mean, it's like someone had written a fiction piece, but we know you're telling the truth. I'm in third grade. It's raining outside. So Miss Curtis says to us, well, you're not going to go out and play. I'm going to teach you a game. So she sends Jane Hamilton. That was her name. How do I know it's her name? She went through grade school and high school with me, and I had dinner with her about 9 months ago after all these many years. But she sends her into the hallway, and we hide a beanbag, a cloth bag that I got used for sports or whatever games. We hid in the room. We put it in someone's desk. So Miss Curtis calls Jane back in and says, Jane, you walk around the room. Your classmates, we hit a beanbag. Your classmates will say if you're getting near what it is, where it is, they'll say you're getting warm. If you're not near, you're getting cold. If you're very close, it's going to be hot. It's a game called Hot and Cold.
Mm-hmm.
So she's walking around, and finally hot, and she's standing by someone's desk, and then she reaches in, and there's the beanbag. And I was upset that I didn't have the chance to play it. I was obsessed with this. So I'm walking home, and I had a blessing in my life from grade school to 12th grade. It was one of the greatest blessings I've ever had in my life. I walked to school. Like the people in Scandinavia, it could be a blizzard. We walked to school. We met friends along the way. We socialized along the way. We didn't just get out in a bus or car and be driven 10 minutes. So we walked the hour to school and so forth. So anyway, I get my brother and said, my brother's 3 years younger. I said, let's go over to Grandma and Grandpa's house. And they lived about 10 minutes from us. My grandfather built a house with his own hands. He was in construction from Sicily. I said, you know, they rented it downstairs. That's the way they had made ends meet. There was not money given on the table. The attorneys had not bribed them. The politicians had not said, we'll pay the rest of your life. They just knew they had to come here and bust their asses off. And they lived upstairs. And my grandmother had been a cook for royalty in Sicily. And the meals we had on Sunday after Mass were fantastic. Wow. To 18 or 9. Anyway, so he hides the penny upstairs. I'm downstairs because they rented the downstairs to make ends meet. That's the way they rented. So my brother calls me. Now he's 3 years younger. I'm 9 years old. I run up the stairs. So help me God. Let me describe what I will never forget. My grandmother's sitting behind a large table. She didn't speak English. She spoke Italian. We loved her dearly. And my grandfather was at work. I walk into the kitchen. I meander slowly through the kitchen. And there's a cloth drape for the next room. It's where my uncle lived, because my uncles lived there. My aunts lived there, except when they were in the service. Of course, that was they were out of it. So I walked into my uncle's bedroom, and I'm only 9 years old. I climb up on a wooden chair, and I reach with my hand behind a curtain rod, and I got to tell you, folks, I felt the penny. And then it dawned on me. I forgot to tell my brother to speak to me. He had no idea what I had in mind. He just was standing in the kitchen watching, because he had hidden the penny anywhere in my grandma's all the rooms of her apartment. And somehow I found it. Well, my grandmother, being Italian, probably thought I had the evil eye, which would have been. But guys, it got around the family, and affairs. I started, I asked it to do this, and then in Bethlehem, downtown, at St. Michael's Hall, the Polish Halls, when I was in my early teens, I started performing, and I started doing shows. And when I walked into to the stage in ninth grade, I was, I guess, 14, 15 years old, I started doing two-hour full-evening concerts. And in all my shows, within a few years, it wasn't then at that point, but within a few years, by the time I was in my late teens or early 20s, in all my shows, as you guys have discussed with me, I turn my check over to my audience, and I leave the theater under guard. A committee leaves with me that guards me outside, so I don't know what's going on. They hide my check anywhere within the theater auditorium. When I come back, no questions asked. I don't ask anything. No one speaks to me. They just have to think of what they've done. And if I don't find my fee, I forfeit it, goes back to the company that put me in the show is for free. And guys, you got to admit, that's a crazy way to make a living.
Well, you've been doing it for so long.
Yeah, let me tell you what's crazy about this. I failed 11 times in my life. A year ago, I failed in off-Broadway in one of the nights there.
Well, you're 85, Kreskin.
Yeah, but that's only, that's only 11 times out of over 3,000. But let me tell you what's interesting. I told you yesterday that it's been a unique month, January. And there's some shows like that in this month. But the shows are usually regular ones in theaters, banquet halls, what have you. But I've had shows that last month in people's private homes.
Yeah, you were saying that.
Private homes. And I'm one show, as I mentioned yesterday, I booked four times. And each of the times in this home, well, he had 30, 40 people, different audience each show. The executives wanted to have it that way. So the high personalization of it has been so remarkable. But in the years, if you can imagine, just picture this scene, because university audiences are diabolical when they hype things. I've done 18 years of shows at Rutgers University, so they get more ingenious. So I'm in a university in the Midwest, but I'm in this auditorium. It's an old auditorium. And the old-fashioned auditoriums had booths on the second level, booths that people could come in and rent the booth, and eight people would sit in them, and they'd be extended. And they're very classic things. Some of the big, expensive theaters still have them. So they did the check anywhere in the auditorium. Carnegie Hall, it was an auditorium of four balconies in the downstairs. But in this theater, one balcony downstairs. I'm upstairs, and I'm walking along by the booths. And something tells me in my mind to walk into the booth. There's like six or eight people sitting there. And there are poles sticking attached to the booth, sticking maybe 4 feet over out of the booth, because this is where they put spotlights to aim to the stage. Because so I, like a stupid jerk, I'm so intent on finding my feet. And the committee has to hide it in an area that's safe, that's not dangerous to me or the committee that's following me or what have you. I end up going to the edge of the booth with these rods are sticking up and getting the feeling that they have somehow inserted at the end of the rod. Well, the rod is six or 7 feet out. I reach out and I fall off the side of the booth.
What?
I am one story up. This audience screams because I'm going to break my neck. And as I start to go down, the man sitting in the booth reaches with his hand and shoves it under my tuxedo jacket and catches his hand under my belt. And there I am hanging, or I would have been broken. I would have had a broken back.
Kreskin,
you're a mentalist, not a daredevil.
You're not a crazy daredevil. You're 85, Kreskin. Come on, you're not 33 anymore.
But anyway. Anyway, they bring me into the audience is screaming. They bring me into the backstage and they get the officials come, and I'm in pain, a great deal of pain, but of course I'm safe. And I said, I got to go back on stage. I said, you're crazy. You can't do it. Finally, after 20 minutes, the pain is gone. I said, I can walk. They gave me an old fashioned broom, which has a large broom base to it. I put it under my arm and I walk out on stage. And in the entire theater that was filled, only five people had left before that. So the show went on. So the show must go on. Guys, I want to tell you something. But, you know, I'm talking to people. I may have done crazy things, but when I think of two people that I'm on the phone with 23 years in a row, that, I mean, these people, I'm not going to say that they're the normal run-of-the-mill people in broadcasting, because they are absolutely not. By the way, Mark, do I understand, and I did not know this, that do you play a guitar in a band, Mark?
Did you ever tell him that?
No, Kreskin
He does.
I learned that. No, I read about you. But you play the guitar, Mark?
Yes.
Well, I want to tell you something, Mark. I knew someone that you did not know. She's been gone for a number of years. She lived to 104 and so forth. But in the Vegas and area, she was a legendary person. She did makeup and so forth, and because of who her husband was. Her name was Kitty Good, and she was one of my dearest friends. And when I was performing and had in bygone days, I had an opening act that was maybe a musical group. when it was closing night, I said to the group, why don't you come in and sit with Kitty? Let me tell you who her first husband was. When it was explained, they would sit on the floor and say, Kitty, tell us about him. Kitty Good's first husband is a forgotten figure in the history of music and entertainment. And people have said, couldn't you have gotten enough information to his life story? He's forgotten. His name was Eddie Lang. And I don't know if you ever heard of Eddie Lang. Most musicians have not. But years ago, if you folks going into music now will look at the old pictures of Paul Whiteman and the people that were popular in the 30s, had their own bands in the 40s, you'll see that if they had a full orchestra like Paul Whiteman did, if there was a guitar in the orchestra, it was hidden in the back. Mm-hmm. In the front row were mandolins all over the place. The guitar was looked upon as a lowly, lowly instrument, and it was kept in the background. And a man was working for Paul Whiteman by the name of Bing Crosby. He was becoming more and more known. And Bing says to Paul, Paul, I wonder when I sing my songs now, I want Eddie Lang with the guitars. I want him sitting on a stool behind me. And Paul Whiteman says, Bing, I will fire you. I am not going to do that. I don't want to lower the image of this. And Bing says, I want him behind me. So they argued back and forth and back and forth. And Paul Whiteman says, oh, okay, all right, Bing, have him sit there and play. If you listen to all of Bing Crosby's recordings, you will hear an opening of a guitar. Because Eddie, in the 1930s, all the famous black jazz performers and what have you, became the background musician for their singing and what have you. And Bing said to Eddie, because they became very close, Eddie, Paul Whiteman's going to do another movie, and I'm going to have you in it. And Eddie says, I can't act, Bing. Bing says, oh, no, I want you walking through. I will motion to you because you're one of the giants in my life. Well, Eddie was having throat problems, and Bing sent him to a hospital in New York. And there is that tragic scene when Bing Crosby came in to see Kitty, who was sitting there sobbing, and Bing put his face in her lap and cried because the doctor accidentally killed Eddie Lang on the operating table, and Eddie died. But if you hear all the music of Bing's when he was with small groups, his instructions were to the orchestra, before I sing, I want an Eddie Lang opening. He changed the history of the guitar. I thought you guys would like to know.
That's amazing.
That is. I'm going to have to look deeply into that.
And you know, Mark, you know what's a shame, Mark? That somebody hasn't done something on his life because he just didn't become popular. You name the jazz musicians and that, especially the black ones, they had him doing the music because Bing eulogized. By the way, Bing never had a close male friend. Like, by the way, in Italy, there's a week named after him. In Philadelphia, where he was growing up, they have a couple of days every year. But, you know, people like that shouldn't be forgotten.
But you know what? That just shows you how strange life is. Who would have thought that Bing Crosby would be directly responsible for the guitar gaining the popularity that it's gained over all these years?
I go into tears because I knew Kitty very closely. And when I play Bing's legendary, you know, Christmas music, of course, the biggest recording of all time, White Christmas, went into 8 million sales. It was beyond anything that, who's the guy that wrote, the
film? Irving Berlin.
By the way, I have a great appreciation because I love music, but to think that a man that came from Russia that was a peasant and his folks were dead poor, he would go into the city every day and sit in the bar and just sing a quick song or two, and they give him a quarter and so forth, and he brought the quarters home. And here this Jewish singer, this Jewish composer, composed the most popular Christmas song of all time, this Jewish composer composed the most popular Easter parade.
That's true.
And he composed a song that some said could almost replace the Star Spangled Banner, God Bless America. Those people are legends.
Kreskin, we got about 2 minutes, and I know that
I can go. You want to go longer? No. If you want to go longer, it's all right with me.
We're okay. The Ghosts of the Quad Cities is the book. It's available on Amazon. And have to ask you every year that you're on. We ask you about the year ahead, 2020. Give us three things that we need to be aware of for 2020. One or two or three things.
Well, let me tell you. let me tell you, the one that's giving me attention everywhere I'm going, I just was at a school to discuss it publicly, and that is that young people are not socializing as much as they once did. They're going to dinner places where the music is very loud. It's usually a recorded music and not a musical group. They're not making money anymore because they put these disc jockeys that play music so loud you can't talk. But one of the reasons, unconsciously, the guys in their late teens and 20s up to 30 are doing this, and sociologists say they probably don't even realize consciously why. Because the art of conversation is disappearing amongst young people. The cell phone has become so common that they're not as comfortable conversing anymore. And I will tell you, teachers in high school cannot even mention this or they'll be fired. But communication is lowering in our culture thanks to... There are people, you go into a restaurant today, and I was with a group of producers just a week or two ago at a pancake house. We love pancakes. This is a question. We should have a camera here. You're talking about them not talking to each other. There are different tables. There were like four teenagers here. There were six college students there. None of them are conversing. They had cell phones against their ears. We're losing the art of communication because we're so used to quick answers.
Who gets the Democratic nomination?
Well, that's not the point, because I don't predict, you know, I never reveal ahead of time. But as far as the impeachment is concerned, when it's all over, and I said this a year ago, the person, and this is not the next president, I'm not saying who's not going to be. But as far as the impeachment, when that's all over, the person who's president now will still be president. But the other thing that's going to be one of the greatest dangers to the history of this country, it's now being found amongst young people and so forth. We need to understand, folks, and I hinted this to you before, there is no privacy left anywhere today. Mm-hmm. It is erased. There is now a device. I can't go into this at some length, but the IRS person explained, Kreskin, there's now a device where they can tap into any human being on Earth right now. Did you hear me? Any human being on Earth. If you think there's privacy, first of all, every businessman, every major, and they've all told me this, businessmen in conferences and so forth. One big business, and how do I know it? Because one of my close friends is their attorney, and he's married to a gal that, before they ever got married, I've known her for years. He said, Kreskin, I am telling you this as a fact. Whether he has a private meeting in his office in this country, any part of the world, he said he will never do it again without an attorney sitting in the same room. Now what is happening, and you guys know this, watch television, you people listening in, for $97 you can buy that pen that can go on the table and record everything. Almost every meeting in major organizations and companies are going to be recorded because of something that's becoming a sickness, the fact that people are suing for everything in the face of the earth. When we were growing up and we made a mistake in college or some affair and what have you, you go on with life. Now people are suing because they say, well, this guy was running for office when 22 years ago he approached me in this way. This country has become so – and I'm not – listen – I have nothing against attorneys. I just wish that most of them had been on the Titanic.
Kreskin, we love you.
We do.
And
listen, when my new book comes out in about a month and a half, can I send it to you and we can talk about it?
I wish you would. And I want to thank you for the, once again this year, the lovely Christmas card that you sent us. It always means a lot to hear from you.
But I will let you guys know, and we'll talk about a book. I am so excited. By the way, you're good guys and folks. I say this all the time. I know them well enough that the time that I'm on the air with them, I dare not read their thoughts in public. But that's okay.
Godspeed, guys. What? You don't want to tell everybody that all I'm thinking is Kreskin is an absolute treasure.
Bye, Kreskin.
Godspeed. See you soon.
There he is. You know, you once in a while, you got to listen to him, but you can pull a few gems out of there. He's too smart for the room, that's why.
Well, he knows so much.
Look him up on YouTube, and you'll be amazed. The amazing Kreskin. We're Stan and Haney, 96K around.
Two radio vagabonds who have somehow stolen your heart, Southwest Florida. Stan and Haney Afternoons on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Friday afternoon. Thank you for joining us. Just seems everything's running late today. We're going to check in with the Stan's crime beat, local beat. I'll give you a little story of what's happening locally that once again leaves a black eye on Southwest Florida. And then I got a couple of more things from the grab bag that I do want to play for you. One of them is pretty interesting, and it actually is going to be turned into an HBO special.
Because I know what you're about to go into. A lot of people were very, very interested in that.
Yes. So I'll tell you about that. We're 15 minutes away from the 4 o'clock safe word. Could get you a thousand, so stay tuned for that. And later on today, Broadway Joe and his NFL playoff picks of the week.
You know, that tradition with Kreskin is awesome.
He's a unique dude. He's got too many things going through his head, and he tries to get them all out at the same time.
I completely understand.
Yes, and if you can grab a little nugget, just think of it as something whizzing by and grab something.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right, because if you pay attention and you listen, there are some profound things being said.
But if you're just taking it as noise, it's, what the hell's he saying?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we're in the communication business, and as Kreskin said, you young people are losing your ability to communicate. Well, I lost it a long time ago.
Yeah, but think about if we had the options that are out there now, where you're a teenager, mom and dad are giving you a bunch of nonsense, you pick up your phone and it's a lengthy text, and right up there pops an emoji, or you can just hit okay.
Yeah, easy, huh? Let's do the Stan's local beat, and then we'll do some other little stuff that I left for the grab bag. Let's do local beat right now.
All right.
Because
I thought we were doing grab bag.
Yeah, I know. And I got to try to squeeze it all in. Because I said, for some reason, everything seems to be running late today.
You're lucky you got a veteran team here, the audibles you're calling today.
I got to take them as they come. I want to get so much in and so little time to do it. Some say too much time, but I say too little time.
That's the problem.
Yeah. You know, I got a lot I want to say. All right. Local beat, then we'll do a couple of things on the grab bag. One that's unbelievable. This is Dateline Lee County. Cape Coral, to be exact. Headline reads, chase ends in DUI and fentanyl arrest in Cape Coral. And we're talking, and I'm not going to mention the person's full name because they're 16. This is ridiculous. Dateline Lee County. A teenager was arrested for driving under the influence with fentanyl in the car after deputies chased him and a passenger across Lee County on Thursday. At around 12:10 a.m. on Thursday. Are kids back in school yet? What's he doing up at 12:30? Well, I hear it's what he was doing.
Well, you know exactly what he was doing.
At around 12:10 a.m. on Thursday, a Lee County Sheriff's Office canine deputy saw a car swerving and nearly crashing several times near the intersection of Carroll Road and U.S. 41 northbound. The driver ran a red light, accelerated through another, traveled westbound in the eastbound lanes of Pondella Road, and nearly crashed head-on with other cars. That's according to the police report. The deputy chased the car until it eventually crashed in a ditch near the intersection of Cultural Park Boulevard and Pine Island Road in Cape Coral. The driver, a 16-year-old, who we will call Tom, tried to run away, but was stopped after the deputy's canine partner caught him. Released the dogs. That's Kylo. Kylo was the canine partner.
Yeah, way to go, Kylo.
Tom was arrested and was found to be under the influence and in possession of fentanyl. The passenger in the car, he's 25, so I don't have a problem saying his name. Adrian Wiggins
He's 25 and letting a 16-year-old...
Under the influence
on drive. A high-speed chase.
Going down the wrong way, wrong direction.
Oh,
man. Wiggins also had fentanyl on him. Both Tom and Wiggins were arrested and are now facing charges. You see, while everybody else is sleeping, 16-year-old Tom and 25-year-old Wiggins are out wreaking havoc. It could have killed somebody, and they got the fentanyl on them. Let's continue with the grab bag, because there's one story I definitely want to get in. And I think anybody...
You know, Mr. 25, you're done.
Yep.
16-year-old, you probably should be done, but they're going to give you another chance.
Yep. This is actually going to be a documentary on HBO. A docu-series is what they're calling it. Listen carefully, because I played along.
Everybody did. People got all excited about it.
I'm reading directly from the copy this statement. The McDonald's Monopoly game was rigged between 1995 and 2001. Remember, you peel it off your cup, you can get the board and stick it to the board and follow. You'd get the game pieces on a Big Mac or a large drink. You peel them, and then you'd go and have the board and try to play along with the Monopoly to win free burgers, prizes, and all of that stuff. There was a guy that was in charge of security for the company that made the game pieces. And he was stealing them. Here's a little trailer from the...
It was an inside job.
Oh, absolutely. Here's a little trailer of the docuseries on HBO. It's going to be on HBO, February 3rd is when it debuts. But here's a little teaser for all of you that back in the late 90s and early 2000s played the Monopoly game from McDonald's.
People everywhere are winning big, playing the Monopoly game at McDonald's. Barbara Gray won a Sea-Doo jet boat. Mary Wallingsford won a $2,000 Citibank shopping spree. Kyle McKinnon won a Sega Saturn with a Daytona USA game. Jerry Colombo won a Dodge Viper. And there are two $1 million prizes left. With millions of prizes left, you could be next. So take a break and get a break at McDonald's.
Have you had your break today?
That's still a couple of million-dollar prizes out there, huh?
That's a trailer. Now, as the docuseries will tell you, between 1995 and 2001, the guy that was in charge of security for the company that made the game pieces was stealing them and giving them to other people to cash in exchange for a cut of the winnings. HBO made the docuseries on the whole thing. It's called McMillions. As I said, it premieres on February 3rd, and you just heard a little commercial about it. But that was the original one from 1995. But it's a whole
How did we not hear about this before now?
I don't know. And keep in mind, and I want to stress this, It was the company that was making the game pieces for McDonald's.
But it was one guy.
But the one guy, the security guy, was the one doing it. So, like say, you know, we wanted to have some mailers to be put in mailboxes of the Stan and Haney show, where you might get a coupon on it. It's not Stan and Haney that were rigging the game. It was the printing company that was making them, handing them out. So the company that McDonald's got the game pieces from were the ones where the security guy was handing them out to friends to get his beak wet.
Would it be anything like, say, a publication/printer hire Stan to deliver magazines, and Stan takes them to a raccoon-filled dumpster instead of delivering them.
Quite similar. Quite similar. Happy, this is hard to believe, happy 75th birthday, 75, Rod Stewart.
Well, he got in a fight over New Year's, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Someone like you makes it hard to live without somebody else. Have I told you lately that I love you? First cut is the deepest. Wake up, Maggie, I think I got something to say.
So much good stuff. So good. He, 75, and I've lately been listening to some of him and Ron Wood when they were in Faces and the stuff that they were putting out back in the day. Spectacular. Spectacular. And then you say, wow, Rod Stewart, he's only 75? He's only 10 years younger than Kreskin. Oh, all right.
Different decades, different styles, yep. But it's still him.
Yep. And I won't even bring up the rumor mill about him.
Well, yeah.
Had to get his stomach pumped.
A British destroyer had just disembarked.
Yep. And so there was a lot of semen.
Stomach pump.
Yep. I think it was like a gallon.
Which we found out was simply a nasty rumor started by an embittered ex-manager that somehow covered the globe.
Keep in mind, Haney and I knew about that in high school, and there was no internet, YouTube, Instagram,
that's
nothing.
How effective that rumor was.
That every school kid in the 70s heard that rumor. Yeah, you know, Rod Stewart, don't, you like Rod Stewart, huh? You know he had to get his stomach pumped.
And somehow everybody knew it.
All right, I got 2 minutes before I got to do the safe word.
I'd say he fired the wrong guy.
Yeah, what publicity? Just for the wrong reasons, but if that guy could generate something like that. We played you a little bit of David Lee Roth that has gone viral from his residency
in
Las Vegas.
Take it easy on Roth.
Here's a medley of some of the stuff that is gone viral because it's so bad. Trust me, it's only a few, like 40 seconds. I got to take a break. Stick around, because in seconds, the 4 o'clock safe word could get you a thou. Poor David Lee.
It's a new era for America and Southwest Florida. As for Stan and Haney, unfortunately, their problems remain much the same. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. We'll get you updated on traffic here in just a second. News headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. And about 25 minutes away, Broadway Joe and his playoff picks. Time has run out for the 4 o'clock safe word.
So now it's no longer a secret and it doesn't matter.
Right. Doesn't matter. I revealed it at 4 and it's over now. And the next chance you're going to get for a safe word and a chance at the foul will be with Rob Show at 6 o'clock. Matt Mangus right now is hanging out, lounging around at South Street for happy hour.
That's what he does,
what
man.
What a gig on Friday. He's hanging out there. That's at Goodlett Frank Road and Pine Ridge Road in the Goodlett Corner Shopping Center
and
in Naples.
And you know what? Who can blame him? It's a great place to hang out.
It is. He's going to be there till 6 o'clock. Want you to come by and say hi. They got happy hour specials going on right now at South Street. Live music, K-Rock prizes. And as always, we want you to keep listening because you never know when another concert is going to be happening at South Street. But go say hi to Matt Mangus and the gang down there for happy hour. Get yourself a cold one, a little bit of food, listen to some music at South Street, Goodlett Frank Road.
Yeah, they're great supporters of live and local music.
And I can't say, but I know of one coming. I can't say.
That's going to be great.
That's going to be a good one. Can't say, though. Don't want to spoil it.
No, I love places like that that make a commitment to live entertainment.
Yep. Oh, before we go and do the headlines and stuff, here, I found an amazing thing. And I just want to say that it's going to take me a minute to do it. Less than a minute. The Nielsen Music Report has just come out and took a look at the music business and what music we're listening to. For the umpteenth year in a row.
Umpteenth?
Yeah, oh, it goes way back. Music sales have gone down. People are listening to streaming instead of good quality music.
Well, I mean, that's the business model now.
However, for like the 10th year in a row, vinyl sales have gone up. And
well, they had nowhere to go but up.
And they have the list of the best-selling vinyl of the 10s, because we're out of the 10s now. We're in the 20s, the roaring 20s. But from 2000 to 2019... Or no, that would be 2010 to 2019.
Look at you, you math wizard.
Yeah, the best-selling vinyl music. So your audiophiles, they want that vinyl. Are they buying new music? Nope. Your audiophiles who have the whole system at home and want to hear the music in the best quality they possibly can, here are the top 10 albums of the 10s that they have bought. I'll start at number 10, Lana Del Rey, Born to Die. Number 9, Miles Davis, Kind of Blue. This is for the 2010s.
For the decade.
Yes. Who's buying the vinyl? They're not buying the new stuff. Number 8, Fleetwood Mac, Rumors. Number 7, The Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Number 6, Michael Jackson's Thriller. Number 5, Amy Winehouse and Back to Black. Number 4, Bob Marley and the Wailers, Legend. Number 3, Guardians of the Galaxy, Awesome Mix, Volume 1.
Which is a bunch of 70s songs.
Yep. Number 2, for the 10s, in the only growing industry in music. Sales. Number 2, Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. And number 1, The Beatles, Abbey Road. Sold well over half a million.
You know what I'm shocked by? You nowhere on that list is an Eagles record.
Oh, that's right.
That was always there. And nowhere on that list is a Zeppelin record.
I just got some news here. I'm going to have you do headlines. I want to confirm it. I heard it from our program director. Do you know about what I'm about to say?
I just got the same text that you got, so I'm looking now.
Here's what. We're going to do the headlines and fluffer. Find out if it's confirmed. I don't want to say it on the air now until I know.
Am I fired?
No. Dodge that bullet. go find a reliable news source on that, and then I will report it.
We need two sources.
Well, at least if the major news has it, go with it, because hopefully they still go with two sources.
No, it depends on which network you're talking about.
I know. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home. I want to confirm this before I say anything.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, you don't.
Should I
yet.
Check my phone?
Well, I got texted and Rob got texted. I don't think our program director has your phone number.
Oh. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Fort Myers, couple of things. Crash, Gateway Boulevard and Daniels Parkway, and the other crash in Fort Myers, Orange River Boulevard and Buckingham Road. And you are up to date. Coming up in less than 1 hour, the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. What can you expect? Well, he's about ready to tell you with the headlines. This is what's coming up, everybody.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know. Apparently now, leaving someone a voicemail is considered the height of rudeness.
If you're going to call me, leave a voicemail. Oh, that's okay. Finish your headlines and I'll do this before we do the fluffer.
Okay. Subaru has run into a problem that Stan and I have dealt with for years. We come up with a great idea. We come up with a line of products. We've tried to open restaurants, but everything we do, they always throw back to us saying, you can't do that because it creates a filthy, dirty acronym, like Stan and Haney International Tacos.
Yeah.
Stan and Haney's Interesting Things.
Yep.
They shut us down on all of that stuff.
Can't do it.
Well, Subaru just introduced the Forester Ultimate Customized Kit Special Edition.
Oh, jeez.
The Forester Unlimited Customized Kit.
Yeah. Can I get a t-shirt with the big letters on it?
We tried that.
Yeah.
And finally, this is amazing. This happened on December 20th, but after our discussion yesterday, it is so timely. A woman in Fort Pierce, Florida, pulled over by the police.
Told you.
When they pulled the woman over, they smelled weed. She replied, I happen to have a medical marijuana card, but that didn't cover the crack.
No.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. This is confirmed. Sad news in the rock world today. Neil Peart, the drummer of Rush, has passed away. I'm reading from, this is from CBC, which is the Canadian Broadcasting Company. They're a Canadian band.
Well, yeah, if it's about Rush, they'd know.
The influential musician and lyricist died Tuesday in Santa Monica, California, after having been diagnosed with brain cancer, according to a statement issued today by a family spokesperson. I'm looking at the family spokesperson, Elliot Mintz. He's the same person that broke the news when John Lennon was assassinated. His death was confirmed by a media spokesperson for the progressive rock trio comprising of Pert, Geddy Lee, Alex Lifeson. Along with penning impressive lyrics, Pert was renowned for his proficiency on the drums. Some say one of the greatest of all time.
Many say that.
Rush formed in the 1970s, attracted a loyal worldwide fan base, sold millions of records. Trio was inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame in 1994, joining the U.S. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2013. Pert's survivors include his wife and daughter. Funeral plans are pending. A release today, it happened earlier in the week, Rush drummer Neil Peart has died at the age of 67. That's a biggie. Do you want to do that, or do you want me to just go to a couple emails and get ready for Broadway?
Well, by the old clock on the wall, you probably should just go to email.
Yeah. That's sad. This is from, well, here, let's get use the music that we normally use. I get a little discombobulated like that. It's from Jeremy. Hey, guys, I heard you talking about marijuana and cigarettes and the problems ahead about smoking.
I'd say at this point that marijuana is more socially acceptable than cigarettes.
Guys, you got to remember the difference between smoking a joint in public versus cigarettes is that cigarettes have countless cancerous carcinogens, where marijuana has zero. I don't know if it has zero, and we don't know a whole lot yet. Let them do the research on that like they did on cigarettes.
Yeah, and Zantac.
And Zantac. You're right. Oh, our first talk of the year from our dear friend Meg.
How's she doing, by
the way? She's doing well, Haney. Wishes to send you all the best. So I hope you had a good 2 weeks off. Has Dave the Waterman gotten a chance to find the gifts you gave him yet? It's been over a year since I suggested it. If he doesn't have them, I'm going to take an inspired guess and say he's pawned them. That'd be a good guess, Meg. Love the show. I am so glad you guys are back. Signed, Meg.
Thank you, what? Meg. We're glad to be back, but boy, was it nice to have the rest.
Oh, yeah, we needed it. When we come back, it's playoff time, and the Patriots aren't in the playoffs anymore. When we come back, we've got
Patriots are one thing. How is it that the Saints aren't still playing football?
We've got the divisional rounds coming up on Saturday and Sunday. Broadway Joe will be here to tell us his picks of the week. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
A toy battery-driven bunny just can't stop beating a little bass drum. And we just can't stop beating a long dead horse. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. Figured we'd give you a little rush after the news coming down this afternoon. We just told you a few minutes ago, Neil Peart, the drummer for Rush, passing away earlier this week at the age of 67. Information about it released just this afternoon. He passed away on Tuesday after having been diagnosed with brain cancer, and he was 67, so we figured to give you a little rush for your afternoon. Matt Mangus still down at South Street till 6 o'clock. Go see him, Goodlett Frank Road, Pine Ridge Road, in the Goodlett Corner Shopping Center in Naples. Give you a few more details about it as soon as we take care of some traffic for your drive home. Also got Broadway Joe. I see the line awaiting his playoff picks. What a great season he had. See if he can do the same for the playoffs. A few things on the road. We'll start in North Fort Myers. Got a hit and run. The 1,000 block of this nice, lovely lane. Then we got another hit and run, North Fort Myers, Pondella Road North and Cleveland Avenue. And in Fort Myers, we have a crash. Bell Tower Drive and Daniels Parkway. And you are up to date. Place has become a K-Rock fixture on Fridays. Matt Mangus and the gang down at South Street for happy hour. Head on down there. If you're getting done with work, go swing by Goodlett Frank Road and Pine Ridge Road in the Goodlett Corners Shopping Center in Naples. Matt's going to be there till 6 p.m.
Good whatsoever.
For those of you that don't know this, one of Broadway Joe's beautiful daughters was married to a gentleman, and they're going through a divorce. Other than
Super Bowl III, my daughters are the only thing I've ever done right.
Yeah, and last year, they were breaking up. They were getting a divorce, and her husband got used to the lifestyle that a guy like yourself, Broadway, with your daughter, you live a certain way when you're a Super Bowl MVP, Hall of Fame quarterback.
Well, let's put it this way. He found it was advantageous to be in close proximity of someone I care about very deeply.
Yeah, now he wants you to pay him like alimony.
What world are we living in?
I don't know. Was he over the Namath household or not?
Well, if you had to take a guess.
I don't think he was at your house.
No. He had the nerve. My representatives and attorneys are getting letters requesting all of my financial statements.
I mean, seriously, though, Broadway. I mean, I know you got an NFL pension, I think, and you do some commercial work. But after a lot of failures that you've had, you know, with the steaks and the grills and all.
That's I was trying to help a relative and it bit me in the ass.
Yeah, you can't be taking down huge money, are you? Nothing like we would expect.
Yeah, but you don't want anybody to know that.
That's true. But now you got to disclose it to, you know, somebody that needs your support.
Well, he'd like me to, but I don't want people to be able to go on a website and look at every penny I have or don't have.
Yep. Let's see what Joe Namath is doing. Let's belly up to the bar, guys, and take a look at Broadway Joe's tax forms.
I don't get it. I have to spend money on an attorney while, this Hunter Biden character, he's got two chicks pregnant at the same time and can't be bothered to even go to court.
Yeah, and you know what? In all the years that you were known as the ladies' man around Broadway, I don't ever remember a huge scandal except for Bachelor's 3, the bar.
Well, there was the Cobbler insert.
Oh, that's. But then again, you have a disease. And all you did was said you want to kiss her.
Yeah. You mentioned vacation. Yeah, it was great.
Sorry, I didn't want to bring it up. I'm sorry.
And you know what the highlight of vacation was?
What?
I wasn't on the hook to pick the wild card games because I probably would have got every one of them wrong.
Most of them were close games, and can you believe that the Patriots and the Saints, both in really close games, they're not moving on. They didn't get out of wild card games.
Well, I don't think, especially the Saints, I don't think that's good for the league.
No, I don't think so either. And if somebody's in the know, because I know you went from the Jets to the Rams, where's Tom Brady going next year? Any little Boyd telling you anything?
No, I all I heard was the same rumor that everybody else heard, that Brady, along with his butt-suits, put their houses up for sale.
Yep.
Because I guess when you're Tom Brady, you have to have a man constantly massaging you.
That's what he does. That's why when you're in your 40s and still playing at the top of your game, there was a story in the Tampa papers last week. Maybe Brady in Tampa Bay?
I don't know. I think it's silly for someone with that resume to tarnish it at all. What, you've got nothing left to prove.
Yeah.
And you and your masseuse constantly massaging your leg. Back in my day, I didn't have a masseuse.
No, you did not.
I had a guy with shaky hands and and an X-Acto knife trying to reattach what's left of my knee.
It's the truth. All right. Let's take a look at these games, minus the Saints and the Patriots in the playoffs.
You know what? Let me tell you this before we get into the National Football League.
Yes.
We're talking about these games. The game that I am absolutely fascinated by takes place on Monday. I think the college game has really eclipsed the NFL.
I know it is for me.
And, you know, Monday night is going to be great football and great drama, everything game should be.
Who do you like? I think I know who you like, but who do you like?
Well, I like both of them.
Yeah, they're both great.
But Joe Burrow with LSU has done things I've never seen done before.
Yep, I agree. I think LSU's going to do it.
And he is a cool cat, let me tell you that.
Let's start with Saturday.
You know, you know this just from watching over the years. There are those special guys, and Michael Jordan immediately comes to mind. The guy that actually wants the ball when the game's on the line and the pressure is on. And he's in that mold.
Saturday, we have divisional matchups. We'll start with the early game. It's going to be on NBC, 4:30. The Minnesota Vikings and the San Francisco 49ers.
San Francisco.
I have to agree with you on that, yes. The late game on Saturday, tomorrow, 8:15, primetime game on CBS. The Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, this is a game where you've got one team that's kind of surprised to be there and another team that knows they're there.
I agree.
Without a doubt, Baltimore.
All right, going with Baltimore, the two hosting teams, San Francisco and Baltimore. Broadway Joe predicts as winners on Saturday. On Sunday, the first game, 3:05 game on CBS, the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs. I think I already know who you like in this one.
Well, I will say this. The Saturday games, to me, those are no-brainers. On Sunday, I think it's going to be a lot more exciting, and especially this Houston-Kansas City game. You've got two quarterbacks. It seems like all the quarterbacks now are 50 years old. But in this game, you've got two quarterbacks at the top of their game, under the age of 25. But Kansas City, I think that they are a much better team than Houston.
All right, going with
and
Yeah.
And with all due respect to Houston's quarterback, Mahomes is in a different league.
I agree. Kansas City. You know, you bring that up, and you look at Tom Brady. There were a lot of quarterbacks in these opening rounds of the playoffs that were old men. I don't think you didn't even come close to being 40 years old playing quarterback.
Well, maybe if I'd had a private masseuse, I would have.
But you would have.
Yes. They actually, records were set last weekend because only George Blanda was mentioned as being older at the age of, I believe he was 43 when he played in the playoff game. The other three quarterbacks are next in line as far as age.
Yeah.
It was the oldest playoff series that they'd ever seen.
Yeah, unbelievable. Now, here's the game that I think is going to be, and you know, Fox has it at 6 o'clock. What time? Kickoff at 6:40. This is going to be, I think, the marquee game for the weekend. The Seattle Seahawks at Lambeau Field, Green Bay. This is going to be a good football game, or has the potential to be a good football game.
Well, I agree with you, and you know that Lambeau mystique is going to be invaluable to the Packers, and we were talking about quarterbacks and their longevity. You know, depending on your perspective, you know, Aaron Rodgers used to be one of the young guns.
Yep.
It's what do we do about Brett Favre? We've got this guy, and now he's 36. So all of these players know so much has to go right over the course of the offseason and the year to even get in this position. And I think Aaron Rodgers is well aware that the clock is ticking. Now, he's got his ring, but his ring is 10 years old.
Yeah.
If he wants another one, he better do something. And I think that he will.
Okay, going with Green Bay. Before I go down your winners here on this, and you're going all with the home teams, I just checked your son-in-law's Instagram. He had a post up there that said, my father-in-law, Joe Namath, has a net worth of $18 million. Is that true?
Well, let's just say it is. Maybe more, maybe less. I don't know what people want to hear anymore.
I don't know. You figure give them $1.5 million to keep them quiet, shut them up?
I don't have that kind of jack.
What, you're talking about liquid?
Well, that would be a whole lot of FU money.
Here are Broadway Joe's NFL picks.
You know how many steaks you got to sell for $1.5 million?
Here are Broadway Joe's divisional picks in the NFL playoffs. On Saturday, he likes San Francisco and Baltimore. On Sunday, he likes Kansas City and Green Bay. Broadway, we'll have you back. I guess it'll be the conference championship games coming up next week. Find out who heads off to the Super Bowl. I just want you to take it easy. Just know that I think your $18 million is safe. I don't think he's going to get anything. You can live at your age. $18 million, you can live comfortably.
Well, that's fine, you know. But I want to emphasize Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. Monday, if you truly consider yourself a football fan, there is no way in hell that you would miss that matchup.
Nope, and you picked LSU.
Absolutely.
All right, you guarantee it?
I guarantee it.
There he goes. Broadway Joe, his NFL picks and college championship pick. We'll be back.
The only radio show in history to escape from the jaws of a dinosaur. Only to meet a dishy brunette who breaks hearts like glass. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. We're going to get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon in just a second. Mark Haney and the news. Rob Show will be in at 6 o'clock, and he will have a 6 o'clock safe word for you. I just saw this. It was put in for our promotions that are coming up, things that you should go to that are fun to attend, and K-Rock's involved in one way, shape, or another. And I've been going to this probably for the last 4 years, and it is not a better time. I look forward to the Ballpark Festival of Beers. I truly do. We invite you to the annual Ballpark Festival of Beers. It's going to happen on January 25th, 2 to 6 p.m. So if you have a few and think about Ubering, you can sleep it off. It's not like going until late at night. It's over with at 6. It's at Hammond Stadium in Fort Myers. Unlimited sampling of over 100 craft beers. You go to each booth, and each booth has their craft beer that they're selling and distributing, and you have your own little cup, and then you make a pretzel necklace. Get those big
a pretzel necklace.
Yeah, you get some string, and you put big beer pretzels around your neck. I laughed the first time I heard it, and then I kept saying, man, I wish I had a pretzel necklace. And so you get those big beer pretzels, you put them around your neck, and I guarantee you do that, you're going to see a bunch of other. I should have done that. Because you're drinking and sampling all these different beers.
So the more you sample, the more the pretzel necklace makes sense.
It makes one. There it is, right there. That's just one pretzel. Look at the one over there from the second from the left, up there. That's what you got to do. And you go around and you sample the beers and you break yourself off some pretzel as you're kicking down a craft beer. It is so much fun. If you want more details, go to 96krock.com.
When you first get there, it doesn't make sense.
You're going around.
But as the day goes on and you're sampling beers, it becomes a good idea. A
buddy of mine came with a pretzel necklace to one of the Ballpark Festival of Beers. And I had a few samples, and I said, you know what? Them damn pretzels are looking really good. Mind if I break off a piece of your pretzel necklace?
That would seem to be a severe breach of etiquette.
Well, you'll be amazed. You'll have total strangers come up to you and ask you for a pretzel. Hey, can I have a little piece of that pretzel?
I'm not sure about the etiquette on that.
I don't know. Just see the picture of those guys? They've got so many pretzels that they can share. I got enough for me, and I got enough to share. You don't have to hold the pretzel because it's on a necklace. And I'm telling you, the last few years I've done it, my wife and I go and make pretzel necklaces for our friends.
Okay.
Here's your pretzel necklace.
All right.
I'm serious. Look at these four buddies going out. They're having a blast. Why? Because they're drinking beer and they got a pretzel necklace.
I was willing to go along with it to a point. But when you tell me now that you and your wife are sitting together making pretzel necklaces for your friends.
Oh, no, I didn't say that she made the pretzel necklaces. I instructed her how to do it.
That's just a bit too far.
No, it's not. No, I thought the exact same thing. Now, if you want to go with me to this thing, I'll have her make you a pretzel necklace. And you know what you're going to tell me?
What am I going to tell you?
Thank you, Stan, for having your wife make a pretzel necklace. That really topped it off.
Why do I find that extremely hard to believe?
Oh, I'm telling you that. The first time I went, first couple of times I went, I didn't bring a pretzel necklace along. What do I need that for? I'm there to sample some beer. And then I started breaking off my buddy's pretzel necklace. I said, give me one. You got like 20 of them. Break off one of those and give me one. And can I have another one? And as you're going in between, you're snacking on a little pretzel and having a little taste of beer. Oh. So now I don't go to the Ballpark Festival of Beers anymore unless I have a pretzel necklace.
And what is it that I would say to you at the end of the day?
Well, you'd thank me. You'd say, I got something. See? My wife just sent me that emoji.
Pretzel. Yep. Yeah, well, that's great.
See, there are people. I'm glad Rob found that picture. And you need to post that. Too hot for Instagram.
Oh, yeah, that's got to be on
yeah.
there.
There's a hipster, couple of regular guys, and a girl, and they're all socializing with a beer and a pretzel. Why? Because they all have pretzel necklaces.
And so that lets everybody know that you're in the club.
You're going to say thank you. Thank you, Stan, for telling me I should bring a pretzel necklace. Yeah, if you're going to post that picture, remember, too hot for Instagram.
Yeah, I don't want to argue with you. I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, yeah. I don't see that happening.
I'll have you wearing a pretzel necklace.
I just don't see me saying thank you, Stan.
Yep. Good idea on that pretzel necklace.
Yeah, I don't, I just...
I'm telling you right now. All right, we've got, it's busy, traffic-wise.
It's not like I'm rooting for you to be wrong either. It's just, I don't see that.
I'm going
to
be right, and you're going to say,
thank you, Stan. Yep. For the pretzel necklace.
Yep. Let's start in Fort Myers. Disabled vehicle, Midpoint Bridge. At the eastbound at the center of the bridge, of course. Fort Myers crash, 11,000 block of South Cleveland Avenue. Lehigh Acres disabled vehicle, South Loop Boulevard and Homestead Road North. Crash, Lehigh Acres, Lee Boulevard and Homestead Road North. And on Fort Myers Beach, got a crash, Estero Boulevard and Bayview Avenue. And you are up to date. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And it starts right now.
This is a special edition of the Evening News with Marvin Kalb in Washington, Roger Mudd in Washington, George Herman in Washington, Neil Strausser in Washington, Eddie Barker in Dallas, Dan Rather in Dallas, Lou Wood in Fort Worth,
Lou Wood.
Harry Reasoner at the
Sweet
New York
Lou
Stock
Wood.
Exchange.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Friday, January 10th.
Double M, double X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. I don't see that happening. Thank you, Stan, for the pretzel necklace.
Yeah, you were right, Stan. Thank you for the pretzel necklace.
It
really helped.
You know, you seem really confident, but and I'm rooting for you. You know what? I'd be happy if I could honestly say that.
Say what? Thank you.
Thank you, Stan, for the pretzel necklace. I feel like I don't want to let you down, so I'm just telling you now.
Okay, I'm just telling you.
Don't
right
count
now.
On it.
Well, then you know what? If we go to the Ballpark Festival of Beers and I got a pretzel necklace on and you don't and you want a pretzel, oh, I might give you one, but then I'll say you could have had your own pretzel necklace, Annie.
Is that what was said to you the first time you took a pretzel from somebody?
Yes. Yes.
See, that's how cults start.
Yeah.
Time now for things you didn't know. How do you become a legend? Well, some of it is under your control. Mm-hmm. The things that you do, the things that you accomplish, being known for that. Other things... Now, first of all, you have to do all those things and excel at something.
Right.
But then there are all of these other things that are completely out of your control that just seem to happen to you. For instance, I don't know anyone who would argue the fact that Mr. Ron Jeremy is a living legend.
In his profession, he is a legend. King of them all.
Now, there was a lot of hard work that went into Ron Jeremy becoming a legend.
That's true.
No two ways about it. But then there are the other things, like this one, that takes him from being just a well-known pornographic actor to living legend. Ron Jeremy was on Wheel of Fortune in 1980.
Well, that's the Chuck Woolery version, I believe.
And he won.
Ooh.
He won a trip to beautiful Mazatlan, Mexico.
All right. Where's that in Mexico?
Back where we used to be allowed to go.
Yep.
Remember, a lot of the prizes were beautiful Puerto Vallarta.
Yep.
You're not allowed to go there anymore. You want to know how the world works? Here's a little microcosm of how the world works.
Okay.
You know, the ladies, they like Tic Tacs.
With a little breath mint, little Tic Tac breath mint?
Well, yeah, because, you know, they're sugar free, no
yeah.
harm.
Yeah.
Tic Tacs, in fact, are almost nothing but sugar. But because each one of them is so tiny, it's 0.5 grams of sugar. So they're allowed to round down and say there's no sugar in it.
Oh, wow. But it's all sugar.
Yeah. It's nothing but sugar.
Yeah. And mint.
Yeah. Just not a lot of it in one tack.
You do what I did when I was a kid and rip the top off that plastic top and just pour them in your mouth.
Yep.
Then you get yourself a good sugar rush. My daughter, when she was an infant, sent one up her nose.
On purpose?
Well, she's a kid playing with a Tic Tac and right up the nose. Oh, she was crying.
Minty.
Yep. Strong mint.
A place where mint shouldn't be.
Yep. Curiously strong. Oh, no, that's the other one.
What is that?
And the one in the tin.
Altoids?
Altoids! Sorry.
You know, the world really has. It's changed so much since we were growing up and observing how things should be. And it turns out they told us everything wrong. Well, what do you think was the last Ivy League school to break down and admit girls?
Columbia.
Harvard was the last holdout. Harvard was the last of the Ivy League schools to finally accept women. That was in 1977.
Jeez.
Prior to that, Harvard was happy to take their money, but they'd be sent to Harvard's sister school, Radcliffe.
Ah, okay. Still a pretty damn prestigious school.
And again, I'm not sure what the hell's going on, because everything I learned has turned out that it's wrong.
Yeah.
According to a new book that is all about 21st century etiquette, leaving someone a voicemail is now considered the height of rudeness.
I don't get it.
It's insulting.
You call me. I always used to say, if you didn't leave a message, it couldn't have been that important.
The author argues that there's, quote, no purpose for voicemails in the modern age, and that having to sit through a 2-minute message is super inefficient and inconvenient.
That I don't get.
The female author says that as a matter of practice, you should never, ever, in any situation, leave a voicemail. And if you're trying to reach someone,
yeah,
and they don't pick up, do not leave a voicemail. Simply hang up and immediately send them a text demanding their attention.
Yeah, but you and I both have those phones that translate it into texts.
I don't know if mine's still working or not, because I got a different phone.
Mm-hmm.
Spur-of-the-moment phone calls are considered rude.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. It's usually not good news.
Usually. It's never good news. Instead, she says, text first and ask the person if they'd like to speak to you on the phone.
Just stop.
Other rules. Oh, I am a big offender on this one.
What?
Because it's drilled into my brain. That's how you do things. Don't use periods at the end of texts.
But I was taught to leave. I would get points against if I didn't put a period on what I was
writing.
It
was bashed into our brains to do that.
I'm sorry, Stan. We're taking 5 points off the quiz. You didn't put a period.
Remember, reply all to group emails is a minefield. And please, please, only use emojis in moderation. For instance, sending off a virtual pretzel string is inappropriate. In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
Hi, I'm Jason. You're in love and want to purchase a diamond. You have so many choices. You may be thinking, do I wait till I'm back in New York? Do I jump online and search the internet? Maybe I'll cruise over to the islands. Before buying a diamond, you owe it to yourself to give Todd and me an opportunity at the Diamond District.
Jason and I have the largest selection of GIA-certified diamonds in Southwest Florida. All are priced at or below the most competitive places in the world. We've partnered with De Beers in Canada and Africa. We've traveled to Israel, Antwerp, and India to select our diamonds. We want to offer you the best possible diamond buying experience.
Come see why more people choose the Diamond District than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News
on the Stan and Haney Show.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, it's nice to see that once in a while there's an example of it doesn't just happen to you and I. Longtime listeners of this show would know that over the years we've had some brilliant ideas. There was a restaurant we tried to start that we thought was really going to be a big hit.
Yep, remember that?
And it was called Stan and Haney's International Tacos. And yep, for some reason, they didn't like it. Then we were going to rebrand our logo, Stan and Haney Interesting Talk.
Yeah, didn't fly.
Nope. Well, finally, it's happened to someone other than us.
Yeah.
At the 2020 Singapore Motor Show this week, Subaru rolled out a new concept car.
Oh.
The car in question is the Forester Ultimate Customized Kit Special Edition. Apparently, no one at Subaru.
I just saw, and they made sure that the first letters of each word highly pronounced.
Yeah. Apparently, they didn't realize what that would spell out. There has been no comment from Subaru so far. They're hoping no one notices.
Everybody's not. I'm looking at the picture, and right off the bat, there you see it, F-U-C.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill?
Yeah.
You know, we talked at length yesterday about the subject of medical marijuana.
Right.
We found out there's a lot of legitimacy to it, but there's also some effery going on.
Of course there is. Oh, two people outside before the show today were talking about it, talking about how cool it is to go to the dispensaries because there's one place that's really, it's like you're going with like scientists working it out and the strains and trying to recommend what's for you. And I'm saying to myself, what are they wearing, lab coats? Yeah, they look like doctors and stuff. You know, and these are high school dropouts.
They look like.
They want to make it really look like they're experts.
So it's just like the guy from years ago that came on the TV wearing a lab coat with, you know, the staff and the snakes there and go, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on television. That's good enough.
It's more like, and if you ever watch him on QVC, but he used to do the infomercials, Chef Tony. He'd come out with a new contraption, you know, a slicer or a dicer or some cheap plastic
thing.
Well,
he's a chef. He should know.
You know what? He'd come out. He'd have the hat on.
Yeah.
The culinary jacket on.
Yep.
And hey, it's our old friend Chef Tony with the Whopper Chopper. And of course, he's a chef of nothing. He's a pitch man. Hey, everybody. I do this in my home. The kids love it.
Who needs to chop a Whopper? I've never felt the need to chop a Whopper.
I'm just saying, some kind of contraption, like a dial-o-matic or something like that. It's Chef Tony, everybody.
I don't know, but I think you're onto something with that Whopper Chopper.
That was some Saturday Night Live skit, I think. The Whopper Chopper.
I don't know.
I know, but if anybody wants to be truly fooled, you take a look at that Chef Tony. Oh, yeah, bring him up. There's
Chef Tony.
Hey,
Chef Tony.
You know what he's a chef of?
What?
Nothing.
Oh. Back on December 20th, police in beautiful Fort Pierce, Florida.
Just a hell pit.
Pulled over a 46-year-old woman, name not released.
For good reason.
The officer smelled weed coming from the car. And the woman said, hold on, officer, not so fast. I happen to have a medical marijuana card.
Uh-huh.
And I guess to her, that medical marijuana card has magical properties. It's like a real life get out of jail free card. And the officer said, okay. So you're telling me you legitimately have a medical marijuana card? She said, yes, sir, I do. And she pointed to a hooded sweatshirt in her car where he could easily locate her medical marijuana card that shows that she's perfectly above board and legal.
Right.
When he picked up the sweatshirt, he did not immediately find the medical marijuana card.
No?
Nope. He picked up the sweatshirt, and instead of the card, a crack pipe fell out. Mm. The officer then searched further and found a half a dozen crack rocks under one of the seats. And it turns out the woman did not, in fact, have a medicinal crack cocaine card. Right. Well, because that doesn't exist, she was arrested for cocaine possession. Not yet. Okay, not yet. And that's the news for today, Friday, January 10th.
Double M, double X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mikey Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. Rob, who's decided they have to call?
Somebody wants to speak on medical marijuana.
Oh, well, we've done it enough.
Yeah, we've done it. Tell them, email us. I'll be glad to look it over.
At your leisure.
At my leisure. Now, granted, a weekend is coming up, so I probably won't get to it till about Monday.
If then.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Full Metal Jackie.
Metal rules.
More fun than a Soviet-style gulag without food, running water, or a working toilet. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Hi, everybody. Stan and Haney.
And let me restate. Stan is always happy
yes.
to accept your emails. He will peruse them at his leisure.
Yeah.
Now, if you think that means you're going to send an email off now and that he's immediately going to look at it and respond to you, that's simply not going to happen.
No.
Monday, at best, that's doubtful.
Well, I'll read it on Monday.
And there will be a response, if warranted, yes. at Stan's sole discretion.
Yeah, and leisure. Rob's show will be up at 6 o'clock. He's got the safe word at 6 o'clock. Could get you a thou. Still a few minutes to go see Matt Mangus over at South Street for happy hour. Happy hour finishing up at 6 p.m. They can't have the cheap drinks all night long.
No, the happiness ends at 6.
And so go on
promptly.
By. Happy hour specials.
Strictly enforced.
Yep. And K-Rock Price, still got a few minutes to do that.
Well, you better have a sense of urgency if you want any of that.
Correct.
Well, you
got about 15 minutes.
Yep.
And again, if you email me, I'll get around to reading it. Certainly not now. I'll get around at my leisure.
No, absolutely not. At your leisure.
I mean, geez, it's Friday at 5:45. I'll deal with it on Monday.
At best.
And if warranted, a reply.
Hot words. Yeah. I love them.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's start in Placida. Hit and run, Gasparilla Road and 9th Street West. Got two in Fort Myers. Disabled vehicle. Both of them disabled vehicles, as a matter of fact. Fort Myers, 6 Mile Cypress and Crystal Drive, and a disabled vehicle, Lee Road and Alico Road. And you are up to date. Let's laugh a little bit.
Time now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley thinks everything is terrible. You might not know that because he says it like this. Oh, no, that was terrible. That's a terrible, terrible play. Where did the vowels go in that word? Huh? What's he doing? Saving them for the home game, a Wheel of Fortune? I would not like to buy a vowel. Consonants only. That was terrible, terrible, terrible. You could not play Scrabble with Charles Barkley. What are you going to do? Challenge him when he puts this down? T-R-B-L. What's that? Terrible. What's that mean? It means horrible. What's that mean? It means really, really bad. It's terrible, horrible. Knucklehead. He always sounds hungry, too. You know, for example, in the NBA, there's a team called the Denver Nuggets. And they always make sure to say Denver, because if they don't, they know they're going to lose Charles. Like, what do you think of the Nuggets?
Oh, I thought they were pretty good for dinner last night. I had some honey dipping sauce. That was crazy. C-R-A-Z-A, crazy.
What's that?
That's a triple word score. You just lost again, fool.
Have yourselves a great weekend. Lord willing, we'll be back here on Monday at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this.
And now, here's the youngster who did it when they said it couldn't be done. The superstar of the Super Bowl, ladies and gentlemen, here is Joe Namath.
Broadway Joe!
Hey, hey, hey!
How are you, buddy? Back after vacation. Get a chance to talk to you again because it's playoff time. How was your holiday?
Just fine.
Family?
You know it.
Oh, I'm sorry. even that son-in-law that's trying to give make you pay alimony?
Do young people today have no sense of manhood whatsoever?
For those of you that don't know this, one of Broadway Joe's beautiful daughters was married to a gentleman, and they're,
you know,
they're going
than,
through a divorce.
Other than Super Bowl III, my daughters are the only thing I've ever done right.
Yeah, and last year, they were breaking up. They were getting a divorce, and her husband got used to the lifestyle that a guy like yourself, Broadway, with your daughter, you live a certain way when you're a Super Bowl MVP, Hall of Fame quarterback.
Well, let's put it this way. He found it was advantageous to be in close proximity of someone I care about very deeply.
Yeah, now he wants you to pay him like alimony.
He had the nerve. My representatives and attorneys are getting letters requesting all of my financial statements.
I mean, seriously, though, Broadway, I mean, I know you got an NFL pension, I think, and you do some commercial work, but after a lot of failures that you've had, you know, with the steaks and the grills and all.
That's I was trying to help a relative, and it bit me in the ass.
Yeah, you can't be taking down huge money, are you? Nothing like we would expect.
Yeah, but you don't want anybody to know that.
That's true. But now you got to disclose it to, somebody that needs your support.
Well, he'd like me to, but I don't want people to be able to go on a website and look at every penny I have or don't have.
Yep. Let's see what Joe Namath is doing. Let's belly up to the bar, guys, and take a look at Broadway Joe's tax forms.
I don't get it. I have to spend money on an attorney while, this Hunter Biden character, he's got two chicks pregnant at the same time and can't be bothered to even go to court.
Yeah, and you know what? In all the years that you were known as the ladies man around Broadway, I don't ever remember a huge scandal except for Bachelor's 3, the bar.
Well, there was the Cobler insert.
Oh, that's, but then again, you have a disease.
You mentioned vacation. Yeah, it was great.
Sorry, I didn't want to bring it up. I'm sorry.
And you know what the highlight of vacation was?
What?
I wasn't on the hook to pick the wild card games because I probably would have got every one of them wrong.
But they were most of them were close games, and can you believe that the Patriots and the Saints, both in really close games, they're not moving on. They didn't get out of wild card games.
Well, I don't think, especially the Saints, I don't think that's good for the league.
No, I don't think so either. And if somebody's in the know, because I know you went from the Jets to the Rams, where's Tom Brady going next year? Any little Boyd telling you anything?
No, I all I heard was the same rumor that everybody else heard, that Brady, along with his butt-suits, put their houses up for sale.
Yep.
Because I guess when you're Tom Brady, you have to have a man constantly massaging you.
That's what he does. That's why when you're in your 40s and still playing at the top of your game, there was a story in the Tampa papers last week. Maybe Brady in Tampa Bay?
I don't know. I think it's silly for someone with that resume to tarnish it at all. What, you've got nothing left to prove.
Yeah.
And you and your masseuse constantly massaging your leg. Back in my day, I didn't have a masseuse.
No, you did not.
I had a guy with shaky hands and an X-Acto knife trying to reattach what's left of my knee.
It's the truth. All right. Here are Broadway Joe's divisional picks in the NFL playoffs. On Saturday, he likes San Francisco and Baltimore. On Sunday, he likes Kansas City and Green Bay. Broadway, we'll have you back. I guess it'll be the conference championship games coming up next week. find out who heads off to the Super Bowl. I just want you to take it easy. Just know that I think your $18 million is safe. I don't think he's going to get anything. You can live at your age, $18 million, you can live comfortably.
Well, that's fine, you know, but I want to emphasize Saturday and Sunday, yeah, that's fine, whatever. Monday, if you truly consider yourself a football fan, there is no way in hell that you would miss that matchup.
Nope, and you picked LSU.
Absolutely.
All right, you guarantee it?
I guarantee it.
There he goes, Broadway Joe.
Blue skies.
Yeah,
every day's a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.